Welcome to Beyond the Chutes is presented by Parasite Systems. I'm your host, Doug Simcox, and DTC Beyond the Chutes is on the road again. We are in Saint-Tite, Quebec, Canada. We're up here for the Western Festival de Saint-Tite, celebrating 56 years this year, 56 years of history. And we're going to talk a lot about how this all got formed and got started. And we've got a very special guest with us here today, Christian LaFrance, resident of Saint-Tite, been on the board. We're going to talk about all of that. Welcome to the program, Christian.
Merci, Doug. C'est un plaisir d'être avec toi. Thank you, Doug. It's a pleasure to be with you today.
As I said, where it all began. My understanding is the festival started 56 years ago this year to promote the leather industry. Talk a little bit about that, if you would.
Yeah, Saint-Tite is known for its leather industry. We had many, many shops in Saint-Tite where we manufacture boots and gloves. And back in 1967, all those manufacturers, they got together and they worked to promote the leather industry, and they said to themselves, let's organize kind of a fair on a weekend in September 1967, and it turned out to be a rodeo with activities with horses and stuff like that around, and that's where it all started. This year was not the first festival. The first festival came the year after in 1968, and it has been on for 56 years now.
56 years. That's incredible. And Saint-Tite, we're about, 40 minutes away from Three Rivers?
That's it.
Why Saint-Tite? Why did they say, let's go to this small town, which at that point is 3,000 people living here, maybe?
Back in 1967, we were close to 5,000 people in Saint-Tite. Saint-Tite was a little bigger than it is right now. Okay. And, the choice, or Saint-Tite was not selected to be the host of the festival, but the Boulay brothers, known for their famous Boulay boots, they were. The industry was in Saint-Tite, so they set the festival, the first festival, right where they lived at that time.
Okay. And for the record, I have had several pairs of Boulay boots in my rodeo career.
I have too.
One of the best. They are the best. Absolutely. And 1967, you mentioned that. It all started with a one weekend long fair.
That's it. And all the organization was held at the ballpark. We had a little baseball stadium right here in Saint-Tite. Yeah. So they installed all the things to make a rodeo possible there. And 5,000 people came to town to see the shows and all the activities that were around the rodeo. And it lasted on, as you said, one weekend at that
time.
One rainy weekend, I should say.
One rainy weekend.
Yeah, it rained all weekend.
Okay. But enough turnout, they said, we need to do this again.
They said exactly what that we have something. They said we have something that we can work on to make this show bigger and bigger. And that, as I said, the year after, the first festival was held in Saint-Tite, and it has been on for 56 years.
And it went from one weekend, which is that 2 days, one weekend?
Well, 3 days.
Three days, going to throw Friday in there. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. To 8 days. 1968, 1 year later. Mm-hmm. Somebody had a vision.
Yeah. And all those, manufacturers of the leather industry and all people, grocery stores, managers and people that were in business in Saint-Tite, they all gathered together. They formed a big committee and put the festival on.
Okay. And they said, we want to continue to have the rodeo.
Yeah, all the things were organized around the rodeo and the horse contest, and that's it.
And they moved off the ball field into a more permanent arena, which was then known as the hockey rink.
Yeah, we had a hockey rink during winter in the schoolyard, and when in summer, in September, the place or the area was available to install stands and a rink for to held the rodeo.
Okay, and it was moved then, I'm sorry, in 1971, the festival expanded from 8 days to today's standard of 10 days.
That's it.
That's
right.
It.
Yep.
Okay. And then through the 70s, through the 80s, it continued to grow. The rodeo was there. And I believe if I check with my friends, Joe Farley and Mike Swearingen, they were coming up here late 60s, early 70s. They heard about this rodeo and they started coming up across the border, and great stories. Even from back then, just great stories.
I'm sure. And those people are still coming to the festival after all those years.
After all those years, absolutely. And then a friend of mine, Sylvain Bourgeois, who I traveled with when we were rodeoing together, in 1995, he becomes the rodeo general manager.
Yeah, that's it.
Okay. And they went from 2 weekends, I believe it was, to 6 days and expand. And this year it's 10 performances.
Yep.
2 a day today. And we're recording on Saturday. What is it? September 7th, I believe. September 7th. Yeah. There was a 1 o'clock performance. And then tonight again, there's an 8 o'clock.
8 o'clock. Yep.
And the 1 o'clock performance, wow, the place is packed. And in 1997, per the records I'm reading, a major renovation of the hockey rink into the structure that it's known today, and it's specifically purpose-built for the rodeo, seats 7,500 people.
That's right. The first grandstand that were put in place back in 1968 were temporary installations made of scaffolding, I think it is the word, and they were not permanent. So they were installed before the festival, and they were taken out after the festival. And then a few years after, they built the first wooden structures that held the seats and the rink. And back in 1997, as you said, there was this major improvement at the grandstands. Now we have permanent installations with numbered seats, and we have also the attendance is covered. The rink is not covered. Those who watch the rodeo,
all the fans, spectator areas, absolutely covered.
That's it.
You bet. And great sound system, and of course, laser shows and everything. Just a spectacular rodeo to come watch.
You got to see a rodeo all night. Yeah, of course, those are the most spectaculars.
You bet. And laser shows, and I was talking to Josie, who's the production right coordinator, and she talked about a brand new video that they're going to broadcast onto the floor of the arena.
Yeah.
And just spectacular to come and watch. I was blessed to be here last year and just blown away by the production. So I'm excited for tonight, that 8 o'clock show.
We are excited too, and we're sure going to be there.
Absolutely. So somebody told me 721,000 people came to this festival. The rodeo is a part of it. Don't get me wrong, but they come to town. 721,000 people. And how do you manage all the people, the infrastructure that's needed, the organization of running a huge rodeo like this? I did some math, Christian, and maybe my math is right or wrong, but I come up with almost 850 people total to put this rodeo on over the course of this 10 days.
Yeah,
and it
that's
isn't
right.
just the rodeo. Let me restate that. 850 people to put on the festival.
The whole festival and all the activities that are in the program.
So let's talk a little bit about that organization. And we're talking about the people that come together to not only make sure my car gets parked right, that security is where it needs to be, but they plan and how to put on these events throughout the course of the year. And you were on in 2001, I have that you joined the operating committee.
That's right. That's right.
Of the festival.
Yeah. We call that the organization committee.
Yeah.
Okay. This is a group of seven people that are responsible of planning and setting all the activities that will be in the program for the 10 days. Okay. So I entered that group back in 2001 I was responsible of the ticket selling, you know, all the rodeo tickets and the musical shows tickets. So that was my duty on the organization committee. I worked on the committee for 6 years, from 2001 to 2006, and I got the chance and the luck to be president of that committee in 2005. So festival number 38 was my year, the year I was the president.
Yeah. So what are some of the duties of the president of the organizing committee?
Well, recruiting all the volunteers to help, you know, for the parade, helping at the rodeo too, helping our rodeo director, Sylvain Bourgeois, that you talked earlier, and that communication duties too, representing Saint-Tite and the whole festival across Quebec and across Canada and sometimes even in the U.S.
Yeah. And that organizing committee is seven people. And as you said, you were the president of that. And then there's the board.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that resides, or that sits above the organizing committee.
You're right, Doug. And the board is also a seven people committee. And the board is, you know, the main administration committee to for the whole festival. So the main task of the board is to select, recruit people to form the organization committee and then organize the activities for the 10-day festival.
Okay. And then the duties, the responsibilities begin to cascade down from there, as you said, from the board to the organizing committee to the coordinators.
Yeah, that's right. So the coordinators have specific tasks that are attributed to them, and they recruit on their side volunteers, you know, to help in their activity. So we talked about the parade.
Yeah. Which is tomorrow, by the way.
It is always the first Sunday of the festival.
It is. Okay.
The festival starts on Friday, and then we have rodeos start on Saturday, and Sunday is the main event. On Sunday is the parade in the streets of Saint-Tite, and this horse pull parade. There is a coordinator responsible of that activity who has to recruit all the volunteers that are needed to put this activity on.
Wow. And how long is the parade? How long does it last typically?
An hour and a half, approximately. Wow. It's around three miles in the streets of Saint-Tite. It has a specific path that is followed year after year. And this is the most attractive activity of the festival. We estimate 100 to 125,000 people come into Saint-Tite to see this parade every Sunday of the festival.
And everybody that comes can get a place to watch the parade.
Yeah. They're jam-packed at some, corners, at some, there are streets or places that are most favorable to see the parade. So you can see people from, rows and rows of people watching the parade. And it is the same. All the streets are jam-packed.
Yeah. And that'll be fun. That'll be my first time to watch the parade.
Hope you enjoy your parade on Sunday.
Absolutely.
And hope the weather is good, too.
You bet. And then, of course, throughout the week, there's all kinds of programs that are going on. If you're interested in music, this is a place to be.
Yeah, we have the country club, which is our hockey rink is transformed in salle de spectacle. we have shows in the hockey rink during the festival. No hockey, of course, during that time. And we have major singers that come to Saint-Tite every year and give performances at the country club de Jardin.
You bet. And you talked about how at the hockey rink, and this is a separate building from the rodeo arena now, how they have to shift around seating and shift around staging. And that leads us into 650 volunteers. Everybody's got a job.
Yeah.
Everybody knows where they need to be. but 650 volunteers, Christian.
Yeah, that's it. That's a lot of people. You know, we talk about it in the size of St. Cyr. We have 3,800 people living in St. Cyr. We can recruit over 650 volunteers every year. Those people come from every, of course, St. Cyr, but all the little towns around, and we have volunteers coming from Ontario and, you know, different places in Quebec and elsewhere too. This is the main. You know, it's the challenge of the organization to recruit those volunteers. But the way the festival treats its volunteers, it makes them come back year after year.
Nice.
We have people that are still volunteering, and they have been for 30, 35 years now.
Wow. Yeah. Wow. Okay. And then, of course, we got. There's dance contests. I had no idea.
Mm-hmm.
I can come and I can be in a competition.
You could. You should be.
It's been a long time. Maybe a little.
That's quite different from rodeo performing, but
maybe a little country two-step. I don't know.
It's maybe.
Been a long, long time. But there's contests going on. There's programs here just continuously. And one of the things we talked about earlier, Christian, guided tours.
Guided tours, yeah. We have two different guided tours that you can be a part of in St. Cyr. There's one that is historical, you know. We get in Calèche, a buggy, and we travel the road of St. Cyr, and there's one person in the cart that explains how it all started and what are the main buildings that are used, and explain how the festival works. This is the historical guided tour, and we have also behind the shoot or behind the scene guided tour where we explain all the rodeo events and what are how the horses are involved, what is the equipment that is needed to do it, and how it works. Sorry. So this is the second guided tour. Very popular.
Very popular. I can see that. And you talk about how it all started and all the properties and everything. The organization, the festival organization, owns the building we're sitting in.
Mm-hmm.
This is a, as you said, this is a school building that was purchased, and you said you went through your elementary classes.
Yeah. My first grade. I was attending school right here in this same building here.
So what was this studio we're sitting in? Do you remember what this?
I can't remember. I can't remember.
Yeah.
But it was probably the class of the second year class or third. I can't remember.
Yeah. So
I remember I was on the third floor.
You were on the third floor.
Yeah. So okay. That I remember.
Okay. And it houses, there's approximately 15 full-time staff.
That's it.
That work.
That's right.
365 days a year.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't want to move past the board and the organizing committee. They're working 365 days a year, too.
They do, too. Yeah.
I mean, they're...
For sure. You know, we have volunteers that are specifically, you know, on duty during the festival 10 days, but most... a large part of the volunteers are working a good part of the year.
Yeah. And then the staff expands
mm-hmm.
through the hot part of the year, the spring, the summer, rolling into the rodeo. It sounds like you pick up about 100 more staff.
100 more people.
To get it organized, to make sure everything flows. Mm-hmm. And that gets us to, with the 650 volunteers, 850 people that it takes to put this festival on.
That's right. 800 people, around 800 people to get that thing going on year after year.
You bet. And big music events over the years.
Yeah.
You had Johnny Cash here once.
Johnny
time.
Cash back in 1982 or 1983, if I remember well. And then we have Celine Dion, too. She was... I think she was 15 or 16 at that time.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
And we had Alan Jackson, Kenny Rogers, Alabama, Big and Rich, and Tim McGraw last year. So a lot of performers, you know, came to St. Cyr over the years, and we really enjoyed the shows they put on.
You bet. So all kinds of great things going on here, whether it's nightlife and dancing.
Mm-hmm.
You want to come out and hang out with the cowboys, hang out in a very Western feel,
mm-hmm.
very wonderful town here. So lots of opportunities for you to get involved with things. Come on out, right?
Yeah, yeah. And you like we say in St. Sid, you got to see that. You got to come in, yeah. into town.
Yeah.
Just walk the streets.
Yeah.
You know, you can participate in the festival just walking the street, going around all the vendors that are installed, you know, in front of every houses. And then, of course, you should buy tickets to see the rodeo, yeah. to see the musical shows, to attend a dancing training course or whatever you like in dancing. So a lot of activities. We have the Kid Town too.
Right.
And
I want to talk about that. You know, bring the kids out.
Yeah.
During the day, what a wonderful place to walk and listen to music and food.
The festival is a family affair. Okay?
We
have activities for the youngs. We have activities for teens. We have activities for the adult, and we have also a nightlife for those who are.
Yes. For that are into the nightlife. This is a place. And every corner there's music.
Yeah, there's music all around the city, and there's music in the tents. There's music at the Country Club de Jardin. There is music also at the rodeo. We have a part of the show, part of the rodeo, which is a spectacular and animated thing. So
sometimes it feels like it's a rock concert, and then, oh, by the way, a rodeo breaks out.
Yeah, and it's mostly country music, but we also have rock and roll, we want to make those people dance and move and have fun.
And boy, if you ever come here and there's, I don't know, maybe you'd call it a bit of an intermission, they have to come in and drag between barrel events and so forth, and 7,500 people on their feet, clapping, cheering, singing. And of course, Brinson the entertainer is here, Brinson James. And he entirely French-speaking audience for the most part.
Yeah, most of it, of course.
And he never says a word because he doesn't speak French, maybe a little bit. But boy, how he engages them and how he just entertains.
This guy has the ability to make that crowd move in, dancing, stamping their feet and clapping their hands and, you know, putting the fun in the rink. He is spectacular.
There's never a dull moment at the rodeo.
No,
always moving.
And it's minute after minute, and you know you've been in the rodeo business and rodeo you were even a performer and you know all how important is the timing. Sylvain Bourgeois does an incredible job, you know, putting his shows like he does right here.
And super announcers.
Super announcers.
Great music, great lighting, great lasers, all of that.
Fireworks,
and just every pyro, everything that just comes together. And it's a wonderful show to come out and see. And there's stuff goes on in the arena all week long, not just the rodeo. So bring the kids out.
Yeah.
Come see this wonderful facility.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the permanent rodeo facility. Come see where the rodeo takes place. And I think your kids will enjoy it.
Yeah, they will. And we have, you know, men, all the effort that have been, you know, put every year in the kids' town, as I said, you should see that. It started with, you know, a little place where we have a horse carousel, and now we have inflated structures, we have animation, we have training and dance for the kids, everything.
Oh, wow.
So you can get your money worth of course.
And every year, as the kids get older, there's more activities. Yeah. Specifically for their age.
For their age, and they can go dancing after. They can attend the bar when they reach the legal age. So
yeah,
of course.
And we can't talk about the festival without talking about the food.
Mm-hmm.
My goodness, I had great pizza the other night, had a great sandwich today, and of course, I don't know if it's the official food of the festival. Poutine. So for our listeners, would you describe poutine to them?
Well, poutine is a typical Quebec meat, and I think Well, I can explain. Of course, French fries, sauce, and how do you say that? Cheese curds?
Cheese curds.
Cheese curds. Yes. So all together, they form a poutine, and you can have also varieties, okay, yes, with sausage and pepper and
barbecue,
everything.
Barbecue, meat, just all. Oh, my goodness.
That's it. We have the all. Well, you can start with those three ingredients.
Yeah.
French fries, sauce, and curds, and add everything you like and make your own poutine.
And you don't have to put meat on it.
No.
Oh, no.
It's not necessary.
No. And if you've not ever had poutine, this is a place to come get it.
Poutine, steak, as you said.
Yeah.
Hot dogs, hamburgers.
Oh, everything. Just absolutely everything. And back to the organization. You know, we've talked about how big the festival is. I read somewhere, Christian, that it's from an economic impact, it's like the number two event in Quebec behind the F1 race.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they're part of a group, Remy.
Remy, yeah.
Yeah.
In French, Remy is a grouping of major events that are in Quebec, in the province of Quebec. A festival is one of the one member of the group, with the carnival, Quebec's carnival, with the F1 formula in Montreal, and all other major events I can't name all of them, but the festival is one of the biggest, of course.
You bet.
And I heard that the Western Festival, our main sponsor here is Molson Coors of Canada.
Oh, okay.
And that's a beer company, you know that. And that's the event where that from in all the events that Molson are involved, this is the biggest selling beer event that Molson has
really?
In Quebec.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Excellent. Did not know that. And
poutine and a beer.
Poutine and a beer. That's the classic. That's the classic meal when you come to Saint-Tite. So if you live in Saint-Tite, like you have your entire life, other than going to school, you came back, you can't be here and not be part of the festival.
You got to be involved.
Yeah.
Yeah, in some way, whether you are, you know, if your house is in the middle of the town, well, you will use your backyard to park cars, an RV can be installed in your backyard, and you can have people sleeping at home or around the home, and you can be, of course, a volunteer, which I have been for the 25 past years.
Okay.
But you're involved, and you know the town goes crazy during those 10 days. So whether you want it or not, you are involved.
Yeah. And you know that before you moved to Saint-Tite.
I know. I knew that.
Yeah.
Well, I left Saint-Tite to go at the university back in the early 80s. I sure came back because I wanted to see that, to keep, you know, seeing the festival over the years.
Yeah. And over the years, and we've already said some of the numbers, last year 721,000 people came through here in 10 days. What's the future, Christian?
Well, the future is, I think that we have reached the, you know, the capacity or the ability or the we are using actually all the space that is available in Saint-Tite to organize this festival. And I remember when I was on the board, our goal, or, you know, we would say, what size of the organization is the best to be, you know, to have every people in in security and have the, you know, the facilities to welcome all that attendance. And we were set around 650,000 people. That was the goal or the objective. And of course we don't refuse anybody here.
Sure,
if
sure.
you come to Saint-Tite and your number is 650,001,
yeah,
you're welcome. Come on. you're in.
Yeah.
And last year was a particular year because it was number 55. It was an anniversary year. It was also our first year after pandemic, so you know people just wanted to be back in the festival. So we reached that number, that spectacular number. Yep,
that is so tremendous. And St. Tite, about 2.5 hours from Montreal.
Yep.
So easy in, flying to Montreal, drive up from, I remember in the past driving up from New Hampshire, mm-hmm. right? Or through Vermont or whatever it may be.
But Oklahoma.
Oklahoma.
We were talking with Dave earlier, and Dave used to drive here from Oklahoma.
And COVID was hard on the contestants. We need to, and I think they're going to find their way back.
Yeah, I think, and I hope, because we have many contestants from the U.S. and from Western Canada, so we want those people, those athletes to be part of the festival, because they're really good performers.
Oh, my goodness, yes. Oh, my goodness, yes. And how to find out a little bit of information on the festival, you can go on Facebook, Festival Western Day St. Tite. Search them. You will find them, all the schedules, all the information, where to park, how to get in, all the different programs and events that are going on throughout the week, throughout that 10 days, excuse me. And they've also got a website, and it is festivalwestern.com. Go on there and check that out. You'll gain a bunch of information. And we say, Christian, come on up.
Come on up, everyone. Of course.
And we want you to check it out. Just a cool thing to experience, and a lot of great people watching here.
Yeah, and hopefully it will go on for years.
For years and years. All right. And to our listeners, we thank you for listening to this podcast. And if you've enjoyed it, please share it with your friends. The best marketing we have is word of mouth. So share it. Hand it around, let people know what we're doing here. And you can find us on our Facebook page, and it's Beyond the Chutes. And we got all kinds of reels and all kinds of snippets up there, all kinds of events that are going on. And a brand new website is up, and that is beyondtheshutes.show. Find us, like us, send us comments, send us ideas, send us folks that you want to have on this show. But BTC is on the road. We are up north at the Western Festival Day St. Tite. And we want to thank our sponsor, Parasite Systems, for helping us as we go on the road. Remember, they've got those mail-in test kits that you can get. And we've got a coupon code, BTC023, for 50% off your testing. And we say, let's test so we know what to treat. Let's test before we treat. This has been our episode with
Christian LaFrance. Or this, Chris LaFrance.
And this is Doug Sim Cox. No?
Thank you, Doug.
is that kind of French?
What?
Doug Sim Cox?
Sim Cox. That sounds great.
Okay. I've got to get my French polished up. Thank you for listening.